Hello? Hello? Is there anybody here? Hey! Are you recording?
Yeah.
We're waiting on you. So you missed her sniffing the markers.
But that camera caught those.
Yeah, we'll see if that works. Okay. Okay. No worry to... We've got lots of time. I'm getting this editing. Okay. Just kind of relax here.
Okay. I'm just kidding.
I don't want the lid. Okay.
Okay. I see how the show's gonna go.
Yes. Okay.
We're not that kind of show.
Okay. Yeah, no.
Okay. Well, good morning, evening, afternoon. Actually, there's a lot of people watching or listening to this at 2-3 o'clock in the morning, which is weird.
Good morning, my
it's probably
people.
Probably Gab. Just can't sleep. And okay. No, we're back. Welcome, everybody. This is another episode, not in any specific order, because we're just having fun and finding out what fits where. We're Infinite Imagination, and we're doing a podcast called Raging Imagination. That's the first time I've ever mentioned Infinite.
No, it's not.
No? Okay. No. Anyway, we are an Infinite Imagination theater group out of Camrose.
Yeah.
And we are just entering into the world of podcasts with Raging Imagination, where we are trying to interview and find people that want to tell stories about art, their form of artistry, and perhaps how it affects people in mental health, whether it helps them recovery or whatnot, and that sort of thing. So today's guest is somebody that I've visually known for quite a while. I think we did a murder mystery little while ago.
Yes, we did.
Together. And
I've seen you on stage.
And I've seen you on stage.
Yes,
that's right, too. So
we haven't anything together on stage, but...
Yes. And this is Suzanne.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll, hello. Yes. And she is a character artist, a graphic designer, and a piano teacher...
I do some slash. Piano. I'm also a keyboardist in a band.
Okay, musician. I was going to get to a musician. She embodies art in many, many ways.
Yes, I'm very distracted.
Distracted?
Very distracted.
Distracted,
yeah.
Yes. ADHD?
Probably.
Okay,
my
yeah.
kids would say yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
I'm,
you wear a lot of hats. You do a lot of artsy things.
Yes.
Caricature artist, theater person.
Yeah.
I'm missing one, am I not?
That's essentially do a little volunteering here and
there,
but definitely arts have always been the main focus of my existence.
Oh, that's awesome. So, that's so exciting.
Since like the very, very beginning, I'm drawing circles on a piece of paper when I was two.
Yeah. I too, am an artist. I grew up loving to draw all the time. Me and my sister were the only two in the family that did that. Have you ever heard of Tippy the Turtle?
Tippy the no.
Minnesota School of Art.
Okay.
There was also a pirate parrot. And if you draw that in a magazine, you send it off to the Minnesota Institute of Artistry.
Yes, I do remember that.
I was enrolled for about a year, and then my parents couldn't afford it, and we were poor people. So I was Air Force brats. Military was not high paying by any means. But anyway, that taught me a lot as a little kid.
Sorry.
And it taught me how to shade all the real basics of it, and I really enjoyed that. And then you,
that's cool.
Well, you had mentioned, that's the first thing I thought of when you mentioned from an early age you were drawing right on.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Oh, yeah. I've always been drawing. I would draw on whatever paper I could find, on napkins, on my walls, on my homework. I was drawing everywhere that I should not have been drawing. So
we were not allowed to draw on the PMQs. So.
On the where?
PMQs.
PMQs.
What is PMQ?
Personal military quarters.
Oh, okay. Because
if you lived on the base, you'd live on it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway. Oh, okay.
So where are you from?
I was born and raised in Edmonton. I was in Edmonton until probably my early 20s, and then I moved to the Duke.
So city girl.
I'm a city girl. Okay. Yeah, I'm definitely a city girl.
I'm gonna branch out here. Was it like being a city girl? Like, clearly we all come from different worlds. I was a military brat, so yes. I lived on bases between 100 and 500 people, and I moved all over the country.
Yeah.
And it was my growing up. Mm. What was it like in a city for you?
I was, the city's busy, it's noisy, but it's had a lot of opportunities in the city, found, with art classes, with theater stuff, doing, wherever. It was just, I just liked being in the city. I liked the busyness of it, riding the bus.
I'm very jealous of the opportunities the cities offer, but I'm not a city person. I couldn't. I've lived in a few cities. We spent a little bit of time. I lived in Kingston, Ontario for a summer. Spent a couple days in Toronto and Seattle and stuff like that, just on trips. And I could not handle that. It's too much. I don't like masses amounts of people. That's why this podcast is perfect. Mm. I can tolerate 3.5 people. So,
maybe that's why I like being in crowds. I like working at parties and different special events with a lot of people, because that's just I don't mind.
Don't get me wrong. If they're looking at me specifically, I'll perform. I love to perform. That's very different.
It's
very hard for me to relax.
That.
For me, it's about, what can I do to gain that attention, whatever that is.
Right. I think it's, I also love to perform in theater. So maybe this is almost like a performance when I do this kind of work too.
Mm-hmm. So your favorite is the pencil or the paper, or do you, are you just broad art all around?
It depends on what I'm doing, I guess.
If you had to pick one, what would it be?
Pencil. Yes. Pencil ink. I think I'd like the more realistic, the slower type art.
Okay.
I love doing this. This is a lot of fun, but it also depends on the mood, right? Some days I just feel like, that's what I can handle that day or something. I don't know. Yeah, I'm good with either one.
Yeah, I know when COVID hit, I decided to learn the guitar, which I had never done before. Oh. And
good for you.
I can play, a dozen chords, and I can do some scales, and I'm by no means good at it yet.
You enjoy it.
Exactly. Right? And that's what it was. It was sitting down and making something, creating something out of nothing. I mean, playing a song is one thing. But trying to find a chord progression that's like, okay, that sounds kind of cool.
Mm-hmm.
And now let's, how do I make that into something valuable or more valuable, I should say.
Yeah.
I mean, enjoyable. Everything's valuable to ourselves, and it should be, but it's just like,
It's. I mean, you decide what is valuable and what is the right, what you want it to be like. And that thing is art, music, it's very much, there's no one right way of doing it.
That's right.
Right? Like, it's your self-expression of yourself. And it'll be different from the next person, right?
So. Absolutely. There's an interesting thing. I was part of another podcast. I drop in every now and then. They're called Real Life Opinions with Jeff, Corey, and Laura. And what they do is they'll watch a movie and then they'll, they don't like the word critique. They want to have their opinions in there. And it's just like, and it frustrates me in the sense like, I'm all about opinions. I'm all about, you should like whatever you like, love whatever you love. But if you start to critique something that, you know, well, oh, I don't like the acting, and this guy was terrible in that, and this was his purse thing, and it's outside of your world. It becomes a negative aspect, right? You know what? I really like this about this movie, and I liked how they presented that. And then on the other side, it's just like, I'm not into that. It just doesn't speak to me. Or I find it emotionally, I don't know, whatever.
Yeah.
There's an objective and a subjective element to art. Yeah, that's the question for you.
Ooh, okay.
Do you recognize or do you accept or will you agree that there has to be an objective side to art? Whether it be dominant or submissive to the art itself, there has to be an objective nature to it.
Objective in terms of looking how you look at it?
There has to be a way to interpret it or relate it in an objective form. Now, that's not saying that you lean in on that, right? So, yeah. Danielle, hand me that marker.
Which one?
Oh, not that one. The white one. No, that the big white one there. Yes, your hand's on it.
That's a mug.
It's not a marker, right? That is objectively a mug, right?
Mm-hmm.
So there's my argument.
I think I missed something.
Yeah. That's my argument. There has to be an objective element so that people can interpret it. Now, whether you have to learn it or you don't understand it. If you don't understand, I've been dying to get into this.
Okay.
And it's very difficult. I did a play... Three years ago. It was about Mark Rothko.
Okay.
And he was an actual painter from the 50s. He was an abstract expressionist. And he talked about how Pollock and de Kooning and all these expressionists, took over cubism, okay, and all this other stuff.
Okay.
In order to understand art, you have to learn about civilization. You have to understand civilization.
Mm-hmm.
So, if you want to go completely abstract, and somebody stands up there and I don't get it, I don't understand it, it's because they haven't learned the perspective of the artist, right? And that's
possibly.
And that's it's not really relevant to that situation. But if I look at that and it looks more like Danielle than me, you've objectively missed the mark. Is that a fair statement?
Possibly. But if I think that it looks the way I planned it to look, then objectively
Subjectively.
I did it right.
I don't know. Subjectively, everything is right. Subjectively, everything is right. Everything is a perspective or a view.
Yeah.
So if I produce something and everybody thinks it's completely different from what I want it to be perceived as, I've missed the objective mark.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Where, because if it doesn't make sense to the outside observers, then it hasn't worked.
And it's a small element of art.
It's yeah.
And this is what and this is something that I'd learned from Rothko. And the study, because I was not an abstract person, but now it's just like, okay, I totally understand how the colors make you feel, not literally, but abstract. You stand in front of a blue for 5 minutes, your mood will adjust and change and so forth. And these are facts and things that just happen to people.
That's more like science.
Yeah. Right? And it's not.
That's like, I've heard that green is the happiest color. Because in spring, the first thing that pops up is green.
Okay.
Oh, okay. So they psychologically, emotionally connect that to things growing,
to a fresh start.
Yeah.
Spring is coming. It's going to be nice and warm. So green is a happy color. I can't remember where I read that or who told me.
Yeah.
But I remember it, and I do really like the color green. It's not my favorite color, but when I see it, it's like,
yeah. Like, it just makes you feel
better. It's a question I like to ask, because, I mean, the one thing that art does have, every art has to have, is intent.
Yeah.
There's beauty everywhere, but it's not art until you make it art.
Yeah.
Is that a fair statement?
But is it intent for the person making it or for their audience?
Either way.
Right.
If you go up, I want to feel something beautiful, and you go out to a meadow and it's got nice flowers, whatever, that's beautiful, and in your mind you can turn that into art. But it has to, and then create art with it.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Okay.
I
think so. So
yeah, I have bubbles in my podcast saying I'm full of shit.
objectively, your opinion may be different. Someone else will say, no, that's not right.
And I don't want this to come across as an attempted lecture by any means. It's an attempt at exploring other artists' perspective.
Sure. Sure.
And comparing them to mine, and that sort of thing.
So
I mean,
and that's how a good conversation starts, right?
Like, that's good. Yeah.
I think. What do you think of what I think?
It's
So it's, I'm trying to think. Maybe it depends on the piece of art. Like, it's like music. Some people love certain types of music, and other ones are like, I can't stand that. Please turn that off.
Yeah.
Right. So it's their personal response to it, and just because one person doesn't like, the other person does like, doesn't mean that the intent or the purpose of it was a failure, right? So because for one person it worked and the other person did not, because it made sense to them.
Yes, that's right. That's all true.
Yeah.
But or no, and or but okay. Or and.
Are you contradicting?
Are you, yes. Are you saying
no. I want to add on.
Then it's an
and
not a but.
Yep. Also, also. Can you respect art you don't like?
I think I have to.
I do too.
Because it's not for me to say it's right or wrong. Because there's no right or wrong way of doing art. If it makes sense to the other person, even though I don't like it.
Yes.
Unless it's, I find maybe AI art, I'm not a fan of.
Of what?
Say that AI art.
The art.
People say, "Oh, that's still art. It's still using other artists' styles and stuff." It's like, well, sort of. It's
It's a gray area. Everything has a purpose, and that should not be. What did I see? I seen a meme the other day. AI is supposed to do the things that allow you to do art.
Yeah, like I want,
rather than to do the art to allow you to do things.
Yeah, like I would much rather the AI wash my dishes.
Than. And steal someone's creative, maybe.
Yeah,
that sort of thing.
Yeah, so it's, but in terms of, I think we should respect people's art, as long as it's theirs, as long as theirs, it's genuine, it's authentic, and they haven't stolen it from someone else.
Right?
And claimed it as their own.
That theft thing, too. Is there anything that's original anymore? Can we do anything original?
I'm doing something original right now.
I have also done something original.
But it's a copy of something else.
No, it's not. It's not a copy. It's my interpretation. It's what I'm
saying. Okay, okay.
And my translation of what
fair,
I see
that's
onto
fair.
The paper. Copying would be take a photo of you. That's you.
Okay.
I can't deny that's it.
What
you.
If you did a photorealism version?
I could do that too.
Yeah, and that's where
give me a minute, I'll get that done.
That's what I mean. I'm taking 8 hours to do that, and I really like that technique of the pencil artistry, the charcoal.
Yeah.
And that's where I love when it comes to the paper.
Yeah.
But this quick stuff, I'm terrible at proportions.
I cannot do 2D art to save my life.
Mm. Aww. That's awesome. That's cool because you've chosen the features that make Mike who he is.
Yeah.
Even though you didn't draw every detail, but these are the parts of him that make him distinct, right?
I like that.
Works
for me.
I have a very hard time with, like, the little features of things. But I can do, like, if I were to make, like, a little sculpture of Mike, I could do that. But I...
Yeah.
This is so hard.
It is hard, but, you know, my original drawings were not good when I was drawing when I was younger. They were not good. And even drawing since then, you know, they were good, and then they got bad. And then they got better again. My character style, like, there's a period of time where it's, like, I look at those drawings, and I'm like, I don't like what I did. I think it looks terrible. At the time, I thought they looked good.
Yeah.
Now I look back, objectively, and I'm like, that was, like, garbage. So, you know, it... Art is very organic. It's very it evolves. It is an expression of each person, right? So
I think my art, I fought to make it less organic, and that was where I struggled. Mm. Like if I lost myself in a piece, it usually ended up fairly well. But the more I thought about it, the more I struggled. And then I did a couple pieces I was so impressed with. I looked back and my God, that's as good as it gets. And then I realized in the middle, I'd forgot her hair, like the whole length of her hair. And it was just like this, but in the background I had this other stuff, but everything else was like, in my mind, it was perfect because I lost myself into it.
Yeah.
Right.
My mind, I fight my mind when it comes to stuff like that.
Yeah.
And that's where I think with, I've been watching a lot of your stuff too. And I can see where you get that embellishment of the features, right? Okay, so I've got a very round face, so we start with a big circle rather than an oval or whatever it is that you see so quickly.
Right.
And I can't do that super quick, you know, adjustment.
Sort of work, sort of pick away at it.
But I'm looking at your stuff online, I've realized, oh, the shape of the face, that chin. Okay, I can see you just make that square, and I've been kind of... The eyes. If you can get the eyes and the overall shape, that's like a big step.
I find the eyes are the most important part of the face.
Yeah, and they're difficult for me.
Yeah.
Because I always make one bigger than the
other. That's why I didn't draw your eyes.
Yeah.
And that's okay. You know what? It's like if you just leave out the parts you don't need. I mean, I've seen paintings of people, you know, it's just the upper part of the body and they have no legs. Like it's...
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, but that's okay. It doesn't mean they're missing. It's just in that person's mind, they weren't supposed to be there.
Mm.
So,
did you ever run into somebody, and I know people that hate looking at themselves in photographs and stuff, that ever look at your, and you mentioned before that somebody said, oh, that doesn't look anything like me.
Oh, yeah.
But does anybody, how often does that happen?
Not that often.
No?
Not that often. It's once, some people just, it's like they see themselves a certain way.
Yeah.
Right? They imagine, so 20 we see a
and
drawing,
thin.
More hair, less hair, I don't know.
Yeah.
You know, so it's again, they've interpreted themselves that way. Like, it's hard to even draw myself.
Well,
I imagine myself a certain way, and I look in the mirror, I'm like, okay.
Yeah.
There's people I can't draw at all for some reason. Like my wife has always been very difficult to draw, and... maybe it's because I've so hardened, trained myself to draw through comic books or through whatever that I did as a kid that I find it difficult to draw a human without muscles, in a certain sense, you know.
Yeah.
And I've drawn some good puppy dogs and animals and stuff, but it's like everything's gotta get them jacked. It's just like too many comic books as a kid. Yeah.
So that's sort of your you've been influenced by outside sources, right?
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, my style's definitely been influenced probably by other artists that I've seen. You know, I try and draw kind of the way they draw a little bit, take a little bit bits of their style and fit it into mine.
Oh, yeah.
You know, that's why my drawings are all constantly evolving. Like, my style is not the same. Every 10 years it changes.
I'd like to do more and to allow mine to do that, but I haven't done it in years. I had a friend, we used to work out together. Like we were popping vitamins and working out 5-6 days a week and going crazy. But we were both artists, so we would like draw for a while, swap pictures, and then we draw for a while, swap pictures, and we draw for a while.
That's fun.
And I really loved that collaborative idea. And then at the end, he's like, "You drew her lips, I drew her hands, you drew this, and I drew that." And it was really interesting.
Yeah,
to do that.
That's cool. So you've sort of combined your styles.
Yeah.
Right.
So, yeah.
That's really cool.
Yeah, it was fun. I haven't seen Norman. I had three friends growing up: Norman, Nelson, and Neil. It was weird. I don't know. I don't know what it has to do with ends, but
and Mike.
Strange coincidence.
Yeah.
That's so funny.
Yeah.
Ash just brought sent me a little card. It says, keep a bad drawing until you study, or sorry, keep a bad drawing until by study you have found out why it's bad. Hmm. And that's a quote from Robert Henry. And he has a date here, 1865 to 1929.
Oh, wow.
So...
That's interesting. I like that idea, yeah. Right? Like to not, you know, I've drawn pictures that I haven't, I like to take pictures of the drawings I do sometimes, and sometimes I'll do a drawing where it's like, oh, it didn't quite work.
Yeah.
But I'll take a picture of it anyway, because it reminds me, it's like,
yeah,
that didn't work.
My dad.
Look at this and remember, figure out why.
Yeah. My dad used to draw us pictures all the time. Like we loved Disney. So I remember him drawing, we had this huge poster board and he drew Miko, the raccoon from Pocahontas. Mm. And like, I remember just being in awe of this drawing, this picture that he drew and colored. And he was like, oh no, it's like, it's just not good. And I was like, but I love it. Ah. And I still have it.
So he didn't like it, but you loved it.
I loved it. And like, he's like, oh, this little thing here isn't right. His arm's a little chubby.
Yeah.
But I loved it. I was four. Was I four? I don't know. I was little. And I absolutely loved that.
That's nice.
This picture that my dad gave me.
That's cool. That's very cool.
It's huge.
My dad would draw a picture of a horse in like 3 seconds. And it was just like, oh my God, that's amazing. And I loved it. And that's how I started when I was like 3 or 4. And then I could actually probably draw it to you right now. See your pad?
Yeah.
A marker. Oh. This is my dad's horse.
Do you want a mug?
No, I got the mug.
He's
here.
Strong mug.
There's my horse.
Wow!
See, that's the horse my dad.
Someone will know that's a horse.
And that is where the objective nature comes in.
Yeah.
And I don't want to harp or make anybody think that we have to overthink everything, because that's wrong. But it's an argument that some people will get into, and it's just like.
I mean, there's some art that does make me angry. There's art that I find that, like, it's, anyone heard of The Voice of Fire?
No.
Is anyone familiar with that piece of art? It was purchased by the Canadian government. It was hanging, I don't know, may still be hanging, in the Museum of Art in Ottawa. And all it is, it's three lines, it's huge. It's black, red, black.
Yeah.
There's nothing, you could take a paint roller and paint this thing. They paid $1.7 million for this thing.
Yeah.
I mean, people think, oh, it's a voice of fire. It's like, it looks like paint roller paint. Like, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
I'm not impressed with. Or like a blank page, which I've gotten it.
You know, yeah,
it's our artsy. It's, ah.
And there's a quick character of a horse.
Better.
You know, whatever.
That's awesome. I love that.
But
right, so. So I don't know. Art is.
It is subjective by nature, and you have to love what you love, and you have to respect everybody's right to love that.
Yeah, absolutely.
Or not love it.
Or not love it. Absolutely, 100% right.
Right. Yeah. Not everyone likes my work, and I don't like. There's another artist I don't like his work, but he likes it. So it's like, all right, well, it doesn't hurt me.
Yeah.
It's fine with me.
Yeah.
So it's art. Art is just. I think it should be allowed to be expressed, however, if someone finds value in it, then that's fine.
Yeah.
Then it's worth something.
Well,
I want to jump over onto the stage for a little bit here.
All right.
So when did that become valuable to you?
Oh, being on stage?
Yeah.
Oh, well, first proper acting job I did was with Baltimore Theater when I was 13.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Oh, cool.
So, but I've loved the theater before that. Like, we did a lot of like improv stuff in school, and you know, the moment that we played the freeze game, museum game, and you had to freeze, and kids had to like. Try and make you move, twitch, whatever, without touching you.
Oh, okay.
And I was the last one left standing, and I freaked people out because I was so static. They're like, okay, that's just weird.
Oh, okay.
I thought, well, I can affect people's feelings. I can actually make them believe that I am actually a statue.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Just things like that. It was just that. So that's, but I've always just loved theater. So, yeah. And, I've been doing it ever since. So, got 2 1-acts happening next this month. So.
Oh, what are they?
In Devon. Weekend of the 22nd. 22nd, 20th. Yeah, the Friday to the Sunday.
Oh, this 22nd?
Yeah, this weekend.
Oh, I was just going to invite you to our improv show. Because we need performers.
Oh, God.
We had a couple of... No, yeah.
Anyway, yeah.
What are they? What's the title of them?
Well, the whole show is called Quickies, so it's five different one-act shows. They put it all together into one evening.
Okay.
I'm in two of them.
Okay.
Yeah, so I'm in one. Our show is called Boise, Idaho, which is a comedy. The other one's
That's the one you did at the regionals.
That's right.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. So, and then we're doing Blooming of Ivy, which was at the regionals and provincials 6 years ago.
Oh,
so we're bringing that one back. We wanted to do that one again for a long
6
time.
Years ago. That would have been
2018.
2018. I don't know if I was. I wasn't the ADFA director then, so I probably might not have seen it.
Oh, it's a wonderful play.
Oh, okay.
We love the play so much. That's why we're doing it again, reprising it. So
yeah.
But yeah. So theater is definitely.
So how much do you enjoy reprising stuff? Going back and then bringing stuff forward.
It depends on what it is.
Yeah.
I mean, really, because I don't usually reprise anything. Actually.
See, I typically don't like that.
Yeah.
Now Red, just because it had such a brief moment in me doing it, and I did it with my son, I would bring that back. But
okay.
You know, once I've put my heart and my soul into something, I want to move on and I want to leave that behind. Mm. Now, I mean, sometimes
one time's good.
One-act fun comedies, they're, you know, sometimes a little different. You can throw them, put them back together and... Actually, Interview. The Interview. I did that at our regionals. It was kind of a two-man show where I played a lawyer pleading for his life on the gates of hell.
I enjoyed that one so much.
I did not bury the lawnmower. I may have done other things. I'm sure I did, but I did not.
Was that here in town you did that
one? Yeah.
Nice.
Okay. We were short some one acts for the festival, so I thought I could throw that together. It's with one other person that they read the lines, but they just played the demon, and I'd run around the stage trying to plot my case, and it goes right into the fine. I buried the lawnmower. I did it. I did. You know, and it goes on, and finally ends up pleading and getting sent to hell or whatever.
Yeah.
Oh, geez.
I hope you'll be comfortable.
It's like the last line. It was
so David
good.
Mamet.
It was a witch?
David Mamet.
Mamet. Okay, yeah.
Yeah. I was like, somebody asked me to do it because it was they're a small town. They all wanted to do the comedies, but it was part of a 3-1 act, death defying.
Yeah.
And they wanted somebody who was interested in doing something deeper, and they know that's where my heart lives.
You're not afraid of that.
My heart lives there. I will take a soulful, heartful drama 99 times out of 100 over top of a comedy.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. 1,000 times over a musical. But that's because I can't sing.
It's like Blooming of Ivy is actually, it's got some funny bits in it, but it is ultimately a serious story.
Yeah.
And true, very realistic story. And we love doing it because it draws on real emotions
that
people feel, right? And people will relate to it.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, it's just a really, really well done. That's another reason why I wanted to bring it back, because it was... It's such a good play.
Sometimes it means something, yeah.
Yeah, and you're in it?
I'm in it.
You're in it? Okay.
I'm acting in that. Yeah, two shows. Ooh, a lot of lines in my head.
Oh, I bet.
Well, how long are they?
Oh, they're like 20 minutes. 15 minutes.
It's not crazy. It's crazy.
Yeah. Long enough, so.
Well, I realized the interview was about a 30-minute show.
Yeah.
But it was all me.
Yeah, it was you just running back.
That's a lot of lines when you break it down. It's only a 30-minute show. Yeah. I can do that in a heartbeat.
Oh, yeah. Sure.
And then the demon was just like, yes.
It was like three-page monologue in there, too.
Yeah. You did so well.
That would scare me.
It was so good.
It was scary. But I find fear is a powerful motivator.
Oh, yes.
For me, you know.
Yeah, I think you need to be afraid, like, either it's with art, with theater, like fear is a great motivator.
Yeah.
I think all the emotions are powerful in art.
Yeah.
But, yes. I mean, yes, fear. My first fear of theater was not looking bad on stage. That was the first thing I went through. As long as nobody thinks I sucked.
Of course.
You know, as long as nobody hates my performance, then I'll be fine.
Yeah.
You know, and I'll do that. But then it became, well, that I hope everybody understands me. Then I hope then it becomes, I hope I can become this character.
And I hope that is, you are that character.
And I long for the next role where I can do that. So we just did our Halloween thing, and don't eat the lava lamp.
I love that one. That was
the name of the conversation.
And there's our lava lamp.
Yes.
That devoured their souls.
So this young girl, Nalita, we had great chemistry on stage. She was house sitting for whoever, and they said, whatever you do, don't eat the lava lamp. And she's on this phone with her friend trying to figure out, why would anybody do that?
Yeah.
She exits the room. I come on as this kind of sad, bumbling burglar, and she says, whatever you do, don't eat the lava lamp. What do you mean, eat a lamp? Why would I eat a lava lamp? It's it's clearly not food. And then we go through, and then we make a bond, and we decide to get together and eat the lava lamp. And then it eats our souls, and we're dead at the end, and the lava lamp goes back.
Wow. Yeah. I think we had to watch that one.
It was so funny. I almost peed myself laughing.
Yeah. It was... What I loved about it, and I've gone through through the years. I've been in theater for 30 years, what I loved about it now, and I look back with, we just did Shakespeare last summer, and it's about creating a character from stock rather than stereotypes and whatever.
Yeah,
it's always fun to get out the old New York accent, and we'll just get along with it. You know, like, fuck it, let's go. Come on, let's move on.
We're from New York. Do the rest of the interview like we're from New York. That'd be fine.
We're nice guys.
Love doing this sort of thing.
We're nice people. We just do what we do and fuck the rest. You know,
yeah,
get along.
Right.
Anyway.
Oh, keep it going. That's good. I'll throw in some British. We'll be fine.
And I like the idea of getting down into break. Like, don't eat the lava lamps. Silly little thing is like 15 minutes long.
Yeah.
But my director, Annika, said, create your backstory. She wanted to hear what. Well, so I decided, okay. So I'm like, I'm the youngest of like five kids. And for whatever reason, it was like the city type thing, and it was a bit of New York or whatever. It's like my oldest brother, he took over the business because like dad fucking loved him. He's an asshole. And the second brother, the other brother, he became a doctor, the smart one. He didn't treat the rest of us like shit. You know, and then the other brother, he's a lawyer and he's like a prosecutor, so he gets lots of money and it's whatever. And I'm like, you know, and they just treat me like shit, so fuck them. I'm gonna show them what I'm gonna do and how I'm gonna do it.
And you're gonna die.
I'm gonna burglarize this house, and I'm gonna make the big show right here. And she just absolutely loved the idea, and the idea, like, so many people will treat a one act so superficially.
Yeah,
I lived in that character.
Amazing how much you can do in 10-15 minutes.
And it makes it so much more valuable when you decide to go deeper. She's gonna look at you constantly, and you're gonna feel. Judged.
See, now, how do you feel? How do you feel with me doing this, right?
Because
I think we were talking about mental health with this or something.
Yeah,
I don't know.
That's right.
How do you feel? Like, that's how I find with doing characters, people should become very self-conscious. They're very like, what's happening? And then you can't see it. And it's a scary thing to be objectified, essentially, into my drawing here.
My
right?
children so. Draw me all the time.
Yeah.
So I think I'm probably numb to that now.
They've gotten used to it. Yeah.
And like, some of the drawings are really, really well done.
Yeah.
And then my feral child has just discovered that drawing is quite fun. Mm-hmm. And so she will just do this giant scribble, and she's like, Mom, this is you today.
And it's the way she sees you. Oh, yes,
yeah.
It's your turn to do something. Yeah, come on, you're on this.
Yeah, like my oldest, she drew a picture. She called it The View from My Bed. So she drew, sat down on her bed and like drew her sister's crib, and then the whole family except for her, because she's sitting on her bed looking at our family. And it's like me, I'm holding the baby, and in the picture my hair is like an absolute disaster. I'm looking like I've had a day, and then just this big smile on my face, and she's like, look, Mom, you are just having such a great day. And I was just like, huh. Oh, I'm so glad.
That's it. It's like, but, and now you didn't know it until she told you that you were having a good
day? Yeah, because all I could see was, like, because she even drew, like, stains on my clothes and, like,
oh no.
Like, she was like, Mom, like, we did so much today in this picture. Like, aww. The, like, and she's like, this stain is from when we were baking, and this stain is from when we were painting, and your hair is all messy because we were running out in the yard, and oh, and that's a stick because you got stuck in a tree. And I was like, oh, okay, good.
So here's the interpretation of the art, that, yeah. Right? Because if you looked at that without the explanation, you would say, oh, I look like a total disaster. Yeah. What a mess. Like, yeah. This is such a negative kind of picture. Yeah. For her, yeah. All these things were positive, and that's, yeah. How she felt it.
Yeah, I was just
so,
like,
maybe that's,
oh.
Something in the understanding
just,
of the art.
Yeah, so I was just like, oh, I feel, you know? So good. Like, she's had, like, that's nice. Obvious I did something right today.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, she drew her two other siblings, like, actually, it looked like they were fighting in the picture.
Mm-hmm.
But apparently they were playing very nicely. This is what she told me, at least.
There
so.
You go. Again, yeah. It's without her explaining it, yeah. Right? It's like...
And, like, she's 8. So, like, it's, yeah. Not the greatest drawing in the world. But, like, I have it hanging on my fireplace because I think it is awesome.
Now, let's say also, too, looking at her as an 8-year-old.
Yeah.
Is really well done.
Yeah. Like, and she's drew, like, the bars on the crib. She drew, yeah. Like, the baby. She drew, like, her dad's in there, like, standing in the doorway. He's, wow. Like...
So she see how what she observes, like, what, yeah. She sees from,
yeah.
Her,
yeah.
Her
so,
perspective,
and, yeah,
right?
She called it... She comes up to me and is like, Mom, I call this picture The View from My Bed. And I was like, oh, what are you going to draw? Like, what does this look like? And, yeah, it was just...
What does that mean?
Ah, what did you draw? Show me.
In fact, it was quite beautiful.
It was,
right?
Beautiful, and she's explaining it to me, nice. And she's like, huh, I like this.
I like
this.
Yeah.
This is so good.
See, I love that idea, right? And it's like, you know, if you had drawn The View from your bed, it'd be a whole different picture, right?
Oh, like...
Yeah. I was like, all I see from my angle is a horse, so I'm not sure. Look. I see the other side. Wait,
she'll hate it.
Okay. Oh, that's awesome.
So I can see the parts that make her. The glasses, the, yeah. Ponytail.
My double chin.
Yeah.
I like it.
I was just like, I was so self-conscious when I... So she's got that... She's like, hey,
no, this is...
Does she know she has
a... I do know that. It's a family chin.
Like, I was drawing this woman's husband. She asked me, commissioned me to draw a picture of him. And I'm like, okay. So I had a photo of him. I, yeah. Drew the picture. And in my opinion, based on the picture, it looked like him. And she's like, no, can you just give him a little more hair? Let's do this. Let's change his face, make it a little skinnier, blah, blah, blah. And she kept moving it, changing so much. I looked at the picture and I'm like, it doesn't look like him anymore. Who are you married to? Do you does he not look the way you want him to look? Because this picture looks, no.
Yeah.
It was, but she paid for it, so I don't care.
Did you ever see Ink Master?
The TV show? The tattoo?
I used to watch it religiously all the time, and it was... it was a bit cutthroat. I didn't care for the competition aspect of it because that does not define the best tattoo artist. That defines the best tattoo artist in under an hour or whatever. You know,
yeah,
that's
a tattoo.
What it is. But there's some nasty stuff that gets put on people on tattoos.
But some of them just love it.
And some of them are brilliant.
Right.
Some of them, yeah.
My kids have so many tattoos on them, and some of them, like, why did you do that one? Okay.
Yeah.
And they've had them covered up too as well, so,
yeah.
Or changed to something else. So, yeah, again, that's interpretation, right? That's their personal expression. My dad absolutely hates tattoos. I'm like, well, they're not doing it on you, so you're fine.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, but, we're almost done this little, I thought I'd try a different kind of sketch, but. I'm sure
it's going to look amazing.
Time.
And you're also in a band. You play all sorts of musical instruments.
Just keyboard.
Just
keyboard and singing.
Oh, so you can't play guitar?
No.
Oh.
Oh, no, no.
Oh, thank God.
Can you play guitar? No. Okay.
Barely.
Okay.
He learned over COVID.
No, I just...
Oh, there you go.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I just... I know a lot of, like, you know Ken Mestel?
I do not.
He's from Otaskan. He does the Buddy Holly tribute.
Oh.
He's super talented, too.
So talented.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Okay.
And it's always annoying...
Annoying.
Yeah. Annoying that people are so good and they're good at everything. And it's just like, I want you to suck at something. Tell me about something you're terrible at just so that
something
I can feel
I'm
better.
Something I'm terrible at? I cannot...
Drawing.
I'm checking my oil in my car. I'm not so. Yeah, I don't know. I don't. I'm not really comfortable doing math, science stuff.
I hate producing. I absolutely despise producing.
Oh really?
But I have to do it because like we're trying to find those like-minded energy people.
Yes.
Which is weird because I surround myself by people who are completely not like me, but they have similar energy in that sense. Type thing.
Plus, so, not being like you, they have other ideas that you might not have otherwise thought of, maybe.
Oh, that, and they're just like Ash over there is like she, you know, has the purple hair and she does the weird stuff
it's
and.
Blue.
Okay, that's fine.
He's colorblind.
I know.
Yeah. and she's happy all the time, which is fucking annoying.
I'm not happy all the time.
I find if you can find people with different personalities and talents, mm-hmm. but share the same energy,
yes,
that works best. Yeah. And it's just like infinite is kind of filtering down. You always want to find that one or two people that really want to grow, mm-hmm. Evolve, learn, you know.
Having other people, different people around you, you learn from them, right?
Yeah.
You find something in yourself that connects to them, you've noticed that before, maybe.
Oh, absolutely. Mm-hmm. Like, so. My wife is the best person. She's not a theater person, but if I run by my character or play through her, she comes from a layman term, so it's like, well, why don't you just do that? And I overlooked that because I'm trying to be, you know, profound. I'm supposed to be profound and pretentious. Right. And I've got to be looked at with brilliance and all this other stuff.
Oh, my. So,
you know, and so, yeah.
Well, yeah, I mean, that takes, and it's everything, even with, you know, people who are artists where you think, oh, they're so talented, it's like musicians, so talented. It's practice.
Didn't wake
it's
up practice. That way.
No, you didn't practice. Wake up that way. A lot, maybe the rare person wakes up speaking different language. Like, but you know that on the most part it's practice. It's constantly working at it, constantly making
and
you know,
challenging
making craft,
yourself.
Right? And
stepping into uncomfortable situations until you're comfortable. Emily was, you know, Emily Rutledge.
Oh yes,
she was. She was, I think, our first guest.
Oh
because she always inspired me and. And I really look up at her because she's so talented, mm-hmm. and she does that same stuff where she just keeps working. She can't imagine life without theater, which is something I totally relate with.
Yeah.
If somebody took away my theater, that part of my life, I think I would become a sad, pathetic person. So.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Just like you just lose your joy of life. That's right, because these are things that
joie de vivre.
Joy of life.
Do you speak French too?
Just un peu.
Yeah, figured.
No. I can take it.
Yes, I'm from New Brunswick, so that's the only bilingual province in the country. Yeah. So, so I never learned crayon, bleu, crayon. Is that a deux B?
No, it's a quatre B.
Quatre
B.
Yeah.
82.
So we're
going to
need subtitles.
I think so.
They're talking about the number of the pencil. It's a blue pencil that is 4B.
It's a 4B.
4B.
See, you can sound French like you know French.
Translated.
I love doing voices.
Yeah, and I love voices too. But I
speak like I am French, but I am learning English.
If we are doing a hockey show, then I can maybe pull out some Quebecois type thing.
Okay, there you go.
I'll score a hat trick, and that's three goals. I could do a bit of that, but I could not speak French, so that someone would be, oh, do you speak French? No, not at all.
No, I don't,
I suppose a phrase, I could learn it good enough. So
I had to speak it when we went to Paris. My kids refused to speak French. So it's like, I don't know communication. Everyone.
Bonjour.
Oui, bonjour. C'est pas les plus lamants, s'il vous plaît.
Oui.
Oui. That's exactly, right?
Comment ça va?
Comment ça va?
Très bien. Trigger word. Tabernacle.
You can't say that.
What?
That's a good word.
Yeah, my son's 23, and he's taking film and video studies in Calgary.
Oh,
that's
good for him.
Oh, I know. He's actually, you know. There's my next question for you.
Yes.
What's inspired you most? And I'll tell you before you answer.
Yes.
My biggest inspiration has been my son.
Nice.
He's inspired me to grow and evolve more as an actor, as a performer, than I could possibly imagine anybody else doing it.
Nice.
Where Where I, and we'll start arguing, no, you inspired me, Dad. No, you inspired me. You're mar-, you know.
But we inspired each other.
He's filming video, and we'll break down emotional connections in movies all the time. And
oh, that's fun.
That's,
oh, okay.
That's our connection. So that's what's inspired you? What's your
inspired me?
That was my question.
I mean, my uncle was a was an amazing artist. I mean, we weren't blood related. He was also adopted.
Yeah.
But he did. He was a theater person. He made art. He invented things like furniture. He was a musician. He did all these things. I always say, oh, I got this from him.
That's
so
cool.
So in a way, maybe it was a bit of inspiration to me that he was a sort of kind of Renaissance man.
Yeah.
Right? And he also taught English as a second language.
Oh, okay.
Right? So he was all over the place.
Yeah.
That's right? So cool.
You know, and I didn't get to know him long enough. He died young from MS. But you know, it's like his art stays. His art, we still have his art.
Yeah.
You know, and you get to know that he's in that. That's part of him, right? Is our boy holding on to him by holding on to his what he created.
Yeah.
You know, and I think, too, I love art because in theater, because you're connecting with other people. You're leaving something for other people to show. I existed.
Yes.
I made this.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah. In a hundred years, they'll have that. They'll still have that.
Maybe.
Yeah, maybe.
I don't know.
Yeah.
It's funny. Yeah. Well, only if you frame it and put it behind UV protected glass.
Yeah, I guess.
It'll still be there.
Yeah. So people can throw chocolate milk and paint at it.
Exactly.
If we're lucky.
Oh, no.
And it's only this big. And
yeah.
It's
yeah.
Like, no, there's art in my family, but
yeah. Yeah, what's for your art?
Well, like,
you
like
and, yeah, exactly,
my,
right?
I got an uncle that had an album in New Brunswick, and there was bands. They were the kitchen parties down east, but we left. We moved before I really was allowed to really comprehend that sort of thing.
Yeah.
But but there was that, and then my sister. She was an artist. She passed away when I was 11, so we lost that. But she was the one that really had the artistry. Otherwise, nobody else in my family really
weren't really that artistic.
Not in that creative, you know. They're all smart in their own ways. Should any of them watch it, but then,
My parents didn't did some music and stuff, but they weren't really prolific at it.
Yeah.
My dad's an astrophysicist, so he's a little more sciencey than artsy, but he appreciates
smart.
Art. Super,
the
smart gene did not land on me and my sister as much as with him, but. No, but they appreciate the arts.
Yeah.
And they encourage us. They wanted us to take lessons, piano lessons. They said, piano lessons. My sister tried it, didn't like it, went for guitar. Me, I'm like, I love the piano. Give me the piano.
It's too
scary.
You know,
so it made sense to me. I wanted to take those lessons, so.
I got 5 of these, and you want me to play 88 keys.
Yeah.
All at the same time. Like,
not
I
all at the same time.
Yeah.
And now I do that and play the tambourine and the cowbell, so.
Always need more cowbell.
Still learning these tricks over the past 50, so.
Well, I did pick up the electric guitar after I did the acoustic, so I do dance around there. I'm that close to finding someone. I think I want to get Ken Mistel to do something to get me to be able to play a song on stage.
Okay.
I'll be happy. If I can play a song and get by on stage once, that'll be my minimum.
Just face your fears.
Yeah.
You can do it.
Except for snakes. I don't ever want to face those.
Oh, well, no. Nobody wants. I don't mind snakes.
Actually. Snakes are actually super cool.
They are cool. As long as they're not strangling me, I like snakes. So they're good. But,
yeah.
So I don't know if you want me to show. I can show what I ended up with. I mean, you guys showed your art.
Yes.
Your version of each other, right?
So, this is Mike.
All right, so that was yours. And then that was my version of Mike.
And that is Danielle.
And this is my version of Danielle.
Oh, that's awesome.
So the more realistic with the chin.
See, that's about an hour and a half for me.
Right. And this was like,
yeah.
I mean, I could spend, a lot of portraits I usually do, I'll do 5 hours. I will
every detail, every
eyelash, this, you know, this is like, okay, let's just get
that's
this
really,
quick and get
I
the most.
I really like that.
Thank you.
Well, I can't remember.
Oh, and always sign your art because it could be worth $1 million.
Yes.
And date your art.
Oh, date it?
It's 24. It's 24, yeah. So let's see, I even now these days, I'm inspired by the artists that I see on Instagram. Like and some of the work that they do, like these fast art, like upside down artists.
You see them on stage where they
like it's crazy.
Handful of paint, they blop, and then they
like,
spin it upside down, and it's
something.
If there's something, their brain works in a whole different way.
Yeah,
I have no idea how that happens.
Amazing.
So.
Yeah.
But that's for you.
That's amazing.
That's for you.
You're a graphic designer too, right?
I am a graphic designer, yes. I've designed logos, posters.
So we got a logo per se is infinite, but we're looking for something that can be attached to raging imagination.
Okay.
So we're looking for something like that, and I'd be interested to see what you could come up with.
Sure.
Now that you've had an experience into here, and you'll watch some of our old podcasts and check that out. Yeah. This is way better than the other one. Oh. And the other one was so good, too.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, so.
I'd be happy.
Well, the other one, I was clean shaven. I had a little goatee, and I had a very round head.
See, that wasn't you. That was your character I was drawing.
Yeah, well, I cycle through the facial hair all the time. Oh, okay. So at one point in my life, yes, I'm clean shaven, and that's me. So <Yeah. laughs> I'm really not liking this now. It's just too...
You're prepping for Santa.
I'm prepping for Santa Claus. So.
Oh, yes. Yeah. And that's, I mean, that's theater, right? And that's why I love theater, like just being someone else and making them believe you are.
Yeah,
like,
I love
Grandma
that, too.
Adams and the Adams Family, and a lot of people didn't recognize me.
Who did you do that one for?
That was about 8 years ago with LeDuc.
Okay.
LeDuc Drama Society.
Oh, okay.
Okay, because every yeah, okay, so.
They just did it. Oh. Just now stage works, but. Yeah, so this, it's just, it's fun just being, like, when I'm doing this work, I become, like, this artist, and I'm connected with people.
Mm. Yeah.
Moment, and then just doing theater and just connecting with people. It's so, what it is for me.
Yeah, I love it. And then, well, to me, that's connecting with people, learning new people. That was not me 20 years ago. Art, theater, all this has helped me connect with people, make me a better listener. Mm-hmm. I'm excited, and every time I meet somebody new, I'd love to get on the stage. You still work with LeDuc?
Sometimes. Sometimes.
And you're in South Edmonton?
North Edmonton.
It's so hard to drag you guys down from North Edmonton.
We'd
have to find something really
profound
that you're really into.
I'd love to
work with different people on stage.
Yeah.
You know, especially somebody with more
the human condition.
What's
doing,
that?
Doing theater is like learning about the human condition.
Yeah. Right? Oh, absolutely. Human nature, human condition.
Yeah.
I guess. I mean, we could go all afternoon. Is there anything events coming up that you want to plug? That are a month away.
I could say, well, there's the Devon One Act show that we're doing November 21st, 22nd, 23rd, whatever that Friday, Saturday, Sunday is. There are some tickets left for Friday, for sure.
Okay.
Saturday's almost sold out.
Ooh,
Sunday, I think there's some tickets left. So it's a dinner theater or it's a lunch, depending on which day you go.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So there's that. So do it through East of 60 production, or East of 60 website. You'll have a ticket point there.
Yep.
My band is playing on December 7th at the Leaf, and also January 3rd. Where are we playing there? I can't remember. But so look for Groovy Tuesdays. Also, my boyfriend's band, Paradise Alley, they're also playing some gigs. And I don't know what else. I've got nothing else.
Okay.
Nothing else public. That's the public stuff. So
No, that's
I've got some parties to work at, but they're all private parties. Yeah. So.
No, yeah. That's all good.
That's
what's
awesome.
What's your page? Your Instagram?
Oh, my page. So website is artformsdesign.ca.
Okay.
My Facebook would be Artforms Illustration Design, I think. And I think it's the same for my, I should know this. My Instagram should be about the same. Artforms Illustration Design.
Okay.
So look for that. We look for Artforms. And Yeah, I've got two samples out there, so.
Oh, yeah, that's excellent. Yeah. Well, thanks for coming down. This has been a very different. We haven't had a conversation like this, and I very much enjoyed it.
Oh, that was good.
We got
that was
into
awesome.
A little more. Reheat up, Venus! Yeah! Yeah! Reheat up mirrors. Whoa!
Do you want me to clack?
Okay, yes, do a clack again. We need to do a clack.
Clack two!
No, say clack one, because we're gonna put it at the front.
Clack one!
I can count. So we are here at Fox and Fable in Camrose. They are a board game bookstore and used book store, and they have lots of really cool fun things. They have art on the